Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Thomas Frank Carr, known as T. Frank. And this is quarter number one, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. That's where you can drive your car to Happy Valley for a game and have an RV all set up and waiting for you. No hassling with parking, as a shuttle will take you to and from the game. Tailgate all weekend. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com, or you can call Mark at 800-519-8467. T. Frank, we've been talking so much this summer about the class of 22. I wanted to shift gears. Let's go back and take a look at the class of 2021. These are the guys who are actually going to be in state college this fall, getting ready to hopefully to contribute. And my overriding question is going to be, as we look at these players, who really has a chance to contribute this season? In segment number one, let's look at the offense. Quarter two, we'll look at the defense. Starting on offensive side, start where we typically start. Let's start at quarterback. Under normal circumstances, Christian Vaiu had come in, sit on the bench, had learned, had redshirt. But all of a sudden, he's third-string quarterback, which means there's a chance you might play.
Yeah, well, there's a chance, and I think if it gets to that, then Penn State is in a really bad situation for 2021. So if you're a Penn State football fan, I don't think it's something you should be hoping for. And I don't think that it's something he's ready for just yet. I mean, the thing with Christian Vaiu is the fact that he came from Canada. He went to the Bullis School in Maryland. And then, of course, his senior season was incredibly impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm not sure he played football last year. I didn't double check on that. But if he did, he played no more than four or five games. So he is young for the position to begin with. And then he missed his senior season. So what can you truly expect from a guy that young who is coming into college, still transitioning into football? So that is a tough ask to, if we're talking about early season productivity or productivity in his first year, maybe you hope you see him against Villanova, but you still have to get quarterback reps for Taquan Roberson. So I think it may even be a stretch to get him in there for handoffs. So that's going to be one of those situations where he is very much a player for the future and not for 2021.
There's no doubt that's the plan. And as you said, if he ends up on the field, something went very wrong. My only concern is things do go wrong at times. See the running back situation from last year.
I don't know. So this is where you have to have a value judgment, because even at 6'4", 202 is what he's listed now or for the fall roster, he, when we saw him in the spring, looked thin for his frame still. So he's still growing into his body, let alone growing into football. And if you're to the point that both your starting quarterbacks are injured, because there's no way you're benching either of those guys and not playing them with the situation as it is Mason Stahl then the next answer? Because Georgia did that as well early last season when they had quarterback injuries. They went to, a walk-on instead of going to some of the guys on their roster that they didn't feel was ready. Mason Stahl's been in the program for a while, so is that your best option? And for 2021, that is the situation we're talking about. There is a possibility, as you just pointed out, with injuries and things like that, that you might be in that situation. So I would even hesitate to say if he can play, should he play. I think a full red shirt his year is absolutely necessary for Vaiu, in the way that we saw with Will Fries and Michael Mennett in their freshman season of, sure, you can play him this year, but is it the best thing for him long term? And James Franklin has made those decisions in the past. He's made those tough decisions in the past. He may have to make something like that in the future if that comes to pass. For Penn State, I typically don't assume that you're going to have these devastating injuries year after year after year. Penn State has been a relatively healthy program, and their problems have been more of bad luck more so than anything else. So I typically assume that guys stay healthy, even though with Clifford in particular, that has not been the case necessarily.
Well, what you might have if T. Frank is a situation where one of the top two quarterbacks gets hurt, then you have a game where a helmet comes off or just get nicked up. And this guy, it's not unheard of for that third team quarterback to show up, maybe not for multiple games, but he needs to run a series. So it's possible there. Last question on Christian Vaillant before we move on is, what are his long-term prospects as far as you're concerned?
So, like I said earlier, there's a lot of unknowns with Vaillant because of the limited sample size in high school and kind of his profile. I think he's decently athletic. I think he's got a great size. When I saw him throw in person, I think he's got a whippy arm, so there's some good potential there for ball velocity. He was a pretty accurate kid in high school. So the arm strength can improve. Because, again, he's 202 pounds and looks rail thin. So getting up to 215, getting that strength on his body will increase his ball velocity. And everything else is just really good potential. So a lot of it is great potential. And the earlier he realizes that, the better chance he has of being the starter at Penn State, as we know, with some guys coming in behind him that are equal to, if not greater, in profile as high school quarterbacks. So he's got the leg up of being an early enrollee as well. He's already been through a lifting program with Dwight Gault. He's been through spring football. He has been installing this offense with Mike Yurcich along with the other quarterbacks. So he does have a good head start on that process, but it is a long process and it is a hard one. Let's not forget that quarterback is a super hard position, and when you're able to come in and execute it early in your career, you are the exception, not the rule.
All right, let's move on to other positions where you might have a chance to see the freshman come in and not be necessarily because of injuries. A year ago, we saw a couple running backs as true freshmen. We saw a couple wide receivers as true freshmen. No running backs in the class of 21, but there are a couple interesting wide receivers, and that's a position where we've already seen freshmen come in and making a difference. We have Harrison Wallace from Alabama. Perhaps even more interestingly, we have Liam Clifford, Sean's brother, also coming in. Think we might see either one of them this year?
If we see Wallace, I would assume it's more in a special teams role where he might be a kick returner or a punt returner. He's got great speed, really good linear speed. So if you can get him on kick returns, but at that point, do you have better guys that are more mature and that are veterans in the program that want that position? Because don't forget, that is punt returner especially is a hotly contested position for Penn State, where there's always been guys that want to do it. So he would have to be far and beyond the best of that group. I don't see that yet because he's another guy that was pretty raw on film, where he didn't have to do a lot of actual advanced things in high school because he was just faster and he was just asked to run nine routes. So he's just running go routes down the field. Of the two, I think Liam Clifford does have the better opportunity in front of him because he is a bigger physical receiver. He probably has a leg up on knowing the quarterback. And he probably has a leg up in knowing the offense. And, you know, I don't have any confirmation or inside knowledge on that. I'm just, you know, general obvious speculation of being the brother of the quarterback. You might have a good insight on those things. Plus, that's a position that's open right now. That boundary receiver where you've got Cam Sullivan Brown and you've got Keandre Lambert Smith. Liam Clifford is another guy who I thought was a little more advanced of a route runner than anybody, even Lonnie White Jr., who was in this class as well. He was probably the most advanced route runner of those guys. He's got a physical build, 6'1", 200, but he is coming in right now. So that is the biggest downside, is he didn't come in, you know, in the winter. He didn't come in the early spring. He was a training camp enrollee, so he is a little bit behind on the time frame. But if he's able to work his way through that and work his way through the offense and make impacts and work his way up the depth chart, eventually I think we could see him play a little bit this season with the rule that I think it's still where you can play four games and take a red shirt. I think that's still correct. So we'll definitely see him on the field. but I don't know about significant playing time unless he is able to break that curve of that learning curve of being, you know, coming in at this point.
Well, a couple of things, as you said about Liam Clifford, he's probably got a pretty good knowledge of the quarterback and has probably caught passes from him quite a bit over the summer, I would think. Number one.
Yeah, I caught passes from my brother at a family event this past weekend, and we knew exactly where to be. And it had been 10 years since he threw me the football. But growing up with somebody, you just know some stuff.
No offense to you, but if your brother's the quarterback and if he has some eligibility left, they might need...
I'm the better athlete, but he has the more valuable skill, for sure.
For depth purposes, they might still have an opening for him. and plus, just add in the other factor, it would be fun to see a Clifford-to-Clifford connection there. Just a couple other players on offense coming in. Landon Tengwall, he was the highest rated of the freshmen, but you just don't see offensive linemen hitting the field as true freshmen very often. How prepared, yeah, though, is he to see the field, if not first year, but early in his career?
Very, very prepared. And he's an interesting case because he wasn't mentioned within the group of guys vying for snaps on the interior. So I was a little surprised by that. They brought in a lot of depth. Eric Wilson from Harvard is a guy who started for 3 years in college and has been a very good player. Just as a side note, I would consider him, you better seriously consider him as a part of the two or three guys that are getting serious run at those interior positions. But everything I've heard so far is that Landon Tengwall is going to be seen more as a tackle first. And his profile coming out, he played tackle in high school. He's a very good football player, very advanced technically. He's already 326. He was here in the winter as well. So again, he has every opportunity. My only question is, at the position that he's been talked about, can he play that position long term? And can he break into a rotation at those positions? I think Penn State's pretty darn set with Caden Wallace and Rasheed Walker at the tackle position. So he is very much a guy that is going to be seen as a very, very, very valuable offensive lineman going forward. But if they're committed to playing the tackle, I don't think we see him early. Typically, if you want to get a guy in early, he comes in as guard and then kicks out to tackle later on. Penn State deep right now at that guard position, so I don't think we'll see him as much as I thought we might. I definitely thought we might see him early, but it doesn't seem like we're going to.
Okay. Very, very, very quickly, tight end Khalil Dinkins. I would imagine something has to go wrong for us to see him this year.
I don't see any way, no.
All right. Fair enough. That's it for quarter number one. Stick around in quarter number two. We're going to go to the other side of the ball and look at the defense. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.